The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. The drive is live. Make your way out, man. It's the day after Christmas. You need to get this Thursday night started. I see some people in here already in here looking to make some bad decisions. That couple over there, I know they are looking to make some bad decisions. You can come out and join us for some good food, some good drinks. Got some prize for you to win. All you got to do is sign your name, put it in our raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win. But we are at the Buffalo Wild Wings location in Cypress, so come on out, hang out, have a great time with us as we normally do. If you are on YouTube and Twitch, as you can see Tyler. Oh, Tyler's going without the hat today. Must have a fresh cut.
I thought you'd like this look.
Where
no
is
hat.
Tyler going? Tyler looks like he's about to deal some cards. Tyler.
I cleaned up a bit today. I'm taking the lady to Trans-Siberian Orchestra after the show tonight.
All right. I had to sit through that once with my wife. Yes. How about that? Had to sit through that to be able to get the free tickets to Monday Night Raw. So there you go. Tyler looks like he's just shown people his hands and that he is about to deal blackjack.
I've heard this before. I like the vest look for myself, you know, but it does give off some blackjack dealer type of vibes.
It's the rolled up sleeves. That's what it is.
So
it's
hot natured, you know.
It's the rolled up sleeves, like you got people looking around. Don't you dare put another queen out there.
I don't appreciate how giggly this is making you.
Sorry, I didn't know. I saw without the hat. I said, "Oh, here we go, no hat." Then I saw, "Oh, my man's out here on the floor." got some. All right, listen, we're gonna need some laughter because I'm thoroughly concerned about Tyler Milner after last night's performance.
Oh, yeah. We need laughter. You said it best.
Everybody, you can join the show as always. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, hello. Hey, Guy Gene and all the others there. We appreciate you joining us. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch also as well on the text line 713-572-4610. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. We appreciate you joining us. And I guess, again, if you missed it, Clint is on his way here. He will be in here shortly, potentially in this segment, maybe in the next segment. He is driving here as we speak. Crossed up a little bit. He was ready to work. He was ready to go, except he was sitting at the station.
Are you shitting me?
No, I'm not, Linda. He is on his way out here. As we said, take your time, Clint, and get here safely. All right, I don't know, Tyler and the people. I'm trying to put together, you know, the sentence that I want to start with today, because when we get to the afternoon, you know, you got the post game show from last night that Sean and Clint did, and then Sean gets right back and going, and him and Seth do Payne and Pendergast, and then as you saw, you heard Area 45 took over in the loop today. And then we get here to 2 o'clock, and it gets to us, and a lot's been talked about. And Tyler, I'm trying to get the best sentence to understand or how to start with this. And for me is, what the hell was that last night? What in the hell was that?
I probably said that question in my head about 35 times the last 24 hours.
I mean, that was like, listen, man, I don't know that I knew that they were going to win that game. In fact, I didn't, right? When we talked about the three-game set, I said I think they would beat Miami, and I think they would lose to Kansas City and lose to Baltimore.
We sucked.
But not 31-2. Not like that. That was...
I'm sure they vomited in the stands.
They did, Jim. That was a special kind of pathetic. I am flabbergasted by what we saw last night. Like, I think there's a lot of things we can talk about. I don't know who you're more disappointed. I mean, all three phases sucked, right? You had the special teams. Yeah. You had a guy just run down there and just, I mean,
who was that?
Ross? He just went down there and just ran over the returner standing at the five.
D'Angelo,
And then he stood up and looked around as if he was confused by why everybody was looking at his ass crazy.
He
didn't know that was a rule, right? I mean, it was just insane. Then you got a guy running out of bounds and refusing to come back in. That hit another penalty on special teams.
We suck.
I mean, the defense. I mean, good God Almighty! I don't know who you're more disappointed in, the offense or defense. And as I see a lot of people on the text line talking about, that's the same sentence I uttered. What the hell was that? And some of you may have replaced that hell with another word that has four letters that starts with an F. That might be it. And I see people texting in about C.J. Stroud. Look, 3 o'clock, because I want to make sure Clint is here for that. 3 o'clock.
Hold on, son.
We will discuss C.J. Stroud. It's Ron. You know what? I know that some of you are down. Hell, I might give you a day. You can just call me. Show. I won't even correct you. That might be it. But I'll be honest with you. No, I want to hear from you, Tyler. I want to hear from a Texan fan. What were you sitting there thinking when you were watching that? Because I certainly have a feel. What were you sitting there thinking when you were watching that performance? Because it was an ass kicking from the start to the finish.
Oh yeah. As soon as that kickoff, got that game started yesterday on Christmas Day at NRG Stadium, it was not only an ass kicking, but paired with that, if you're like me, I mean, it was just total frustration, anger, and embarrassment. I mean, we keep hearing, and I love the message, but we keep hearing since his arrival as head coach, we hear D'Amico Ryans and company over there at NRG telling us week in and week out about how they want to establish this identity. This is a new path for the Houston Texans. This organization's ready for that next step. We want to put ourselves in that upper echelon, that top tier of year-in, year-out NFL squads like the Steelers, like the Ravens, like the Chiefs. We want to be there. We're almost there. We're taking that next step. And then I see stuff like yesterday. I see that embarrassment of a football performance on the field at NRG, and you are still the same old damn Texans, man. And that pains me to say, as a fan, all you out there that probably hate hearing that, I hate saying it. But this is the same organization it has been since 2002 right now, and I'm not being hyperbolic in my own mind, I don't think, because you're just not there. You are just, even the years
let
where
out,
you're
Tyler.
Making the playoffs, man. This
let it out.
This team's last win of 2024, I hate to tell you out there, I hate to tell you this, the last win you will see the 2024 Texans get has already occurred. That was probably, the beginning of this three-game stretch.
They can beat the Titans next week.
Who did they play before the Chiefs? I'm so angry right now, I'm blacking
out. I know. The last, they lost to the Titans.
So,
that's okay, but they can beat the Titans.
Well, yeah. But this team is not winning. The 2024 Texans, you have seen them win their last ball game. It ain't happening. We all know they punched that ticket to the playoffs. They won in this crappy-ass AFC South division, and that's what it's going to be and what it's going to look like when playoffs get here. It's going to be one and done very quickly, hopefully not as embarrassing as yesterday, but I don't have my hopes up. This is just the same old Texans BS, man. It's the same thing.
Where are you at? We hear Tyler as he needed that therapeutic session. Where are you at? What the hell were you
thinking? I've never cussed so much on Christmas, man.
Yes, you have. I believe Tyler just got just trashed last night.
Dirty water was flowing.
I don't believe you. But what were you thinking when you were watching it? I will tell you what I was thinking here in just a bit. But I just want to bring this up. Like, this is, listen, there are a lot of matchups, and we've seen this, and we've watched the Texans this year go 1-5 against good teams. The one win against the Buffalo Bills. All of the winning teams with winning records, they're 1-5 against. But this Baltimore Ravens team is a special kind of matchup for them. I mean, when you say boogeyman, they're in their
daddy
heads.
Right now. Yes.
They are, guys, 90-21.
Oh, my God.
That is the total score in the last three matchups. They faced them week one last year. They ended their season in the playoffs last year.
And
who's
your daddy
them,
now?
They faced them yesterday 90-21. And listen, the Ravens have zero concern about the Texans when they play them. No concern. And I'm telling you right now, it's 90-21. And I will tell you, yesterday, they didn't even play. I mean, they didn't even play their the best in terms of complete focus. I mean, hell, they shut it down. That fella that Joe Mixon decided to get into a scuffle with before the game,
yeah.
who didn't see himself playing at all, he got in there and finished off the fourth quarter.
Who's
right,
like your daddy now?
Like, they just shut it down. And I mean, 90-21 in the last three matchups of this team. And it's not like, all right, hey man, the Ravens, they're unstoppable. You know, they're not 15-1 like the Chiefs. They've lost to the Raiders. They lost to Gardner Minshew at home. And you can't compete. They've lost to Jameis. Crazy-ass Jameis. He put up 30-something on them. You put up two. You can't compete. Yeah, the Steelers beat them, and they didn't even score a touchdown. The Commanders competed. The Cowboys. By the way, I don't want to rub it in a little bit. The Cowboys are 7-8 right now. I'm just saying. Mm. The Cowboys.
Cooper
their
Rush,
record,
baby.
Their record and the Texans' record are a little too damn close for comfort right now. By the way, we've been thinking about the Cowboys season. But you know what? They lost to them by one score. They competed.
The Texans don't compete
against the Ravens. It is the damnedest thing when you look at the players they have and you say, well, hell. The Raiders beat them. The Raiders beat them.
Yeah.
And it's 90-21 in the last three matchups.
Mm. Daddy Baltimore
just,
right
is,
there.
It is the wildest. It's the wildest damn thing that I can see. And listen, I'm going to say this. This is what I was thinking as Clint Sterner. Everybody stand up. Give Clint a hand. Give Clint a hand
hey,
as he walks in. Clint Sterner slides in here. He is taking his walk. There he is. He's going to get the headset going. We'll get his thoughts here in a second. Listen, I'm going to tell you what I was thinking when I'm watching this game. And we'll get Clint's thoughts right now as he puts on the headset. But I'm watching this game, and honest to God, I'm thinking, if you are looking to be a championship organization, everybody is on the board. Not named Cal and Hannah because they can't be. Not named D'Amico because D'Amico is a good coach.
Hold on, show.
And then, you know, all of your young players of note, like Will, like CJ, like Nico, we understand that. But everybody else's ass, they are at least on board for a conversation of, yo, do we need to make a move? Do we need to do something different? If you're talking about trying to win a championship, and you notice the names I've left out.
Sure as hell better not be talking about that right now.
Nick, Bobby, Bert, anybody else. Everybody should be on the table except for the McNairs because they can't be. D'Amico and the young, really good players that you know ain't going anywhere. Everybody else, there should be a conversation in the offseason if you're trying to get to a championship level.
Wow.
Because you're just not anywhere close. And yesterday, Clint, was more than just losing to a better team. There was more to it than that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and there's no doubt about that. I mean, there was a lot more to it. You know, you go into that game, and you go into the game, and the hope is that your defense stays course. I mean, they've been really good, and some would say – Super Bowl caliber defense leading up. So you just kind of stay the course and show some good signs. And the hope is that the offense can get something going. I'm not even worried about winning and losing. Just get something going against a good football team and show that you're moving in the right direction, and show that in 2 weeks when the playoffs kick, you've got something to lean into from an identity standpoint. Show that you can get beyond the injuries of Tank Dell and Steph Diggs, and again, you've got something you can lean on come first round of the playoffs in NRG Stadium. And the reality of it is, what we saw was a total embarrassment across the board. The offense got worse. The defense got exposed in a way that they haven't been exposed all year long. And so as a team,
we suck.
Yes, Tyler, you did. As a team, you know, you literally go into the game thinking, you know, it's going to be pretty difficult to take a step back. You know, we just got to show up, and we don't have to win. We just show up and do some positive things. And at the end of the day, you took a huge step back on several fronts. And so, yeah, it was an ugly day, you know, in Texans Nation, no doubt about it. And I do think I'm not going to get too far. I mean, because it's emotional time right now, right after that loss. Right, it's easy to go a little bit overboard. But I don't think it's a stretch that the identity of the offense has to change in a major, major way. The defense was not good, don't get me wrong, but there's been enough good all year long that you can lean into it and make a few adjustments, and I think you still got a defense where you can win a championship. This offense has been bad long enough to where we gotta really start questioning the overall identity of the offense and who's running the show and who is
participating in it, all of it.
Yeah, when I say running the show, I ain't talking about just Bobby. I'm talking about the guys that ultimately, because really, if what I'm talking about, to be completely honest with you, has nothing to do with Bobby. The willingness to be extremely soft across the board, the acceptance of it, the almost like the entire offense is just okay with it. Everybody's comfortable with it. The organization seems to reward those that are the least workers, the least physical guys. Like, that is a major problem on this offense. Bobby's a different conversation. Bobby's got to step to the plate as well. We got to have a conversation about him. But what is allowed and what is accepted that with this team on the offensive side of the football is unacceptable. And it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody what we've seen if you really watch week in, week out, and how they handle the offensive side of the football with this organization.
Were you surprised it looked that bad, though? Like, overall, like,
I was really surprised in the defense. I was surprised that the defense got ran through like messed through a goose. I mean, that was embarrassing. That was effortless. Anytime Lamar Jackson is throwing the football less than 20 times and the Ravens are scoring 30 plus points, you've got problems.
In three quarters?
Not to mention he did in three quarters.
Yeah.
You know, you've got major problems. That means the Baltimore Ravens are running the football at a clip where they're staying ahead of the chains, they're converting first downs, they're scoring points, and there's no need to put it in the air. Right? I mean, so there's it was, you know, the defense caught me off guard. The offense was just more of the same. You just ran up against a super physical football team that's got some grown men on the other side, and you didn't have answers.
All right, as we continue, we are live here, Buffalo Wild Wings in Cypress. Come on out, have a good time, and enjoy yourself. Also got a chance to win a prize here as well. Put your name in that raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win. As we continue to react to yesterday's worst loss, not just of the season, but I would say in the DeMeco era, as they lose 31-2 to Baltimore at home on Christmas Day. When we say this was deeper than a loss, just a loss to a good football team, it was. And when you hear one of the most quiet leaders, veteran players on the field say what he said, it feels like DeMeco's got bigger problems than just losing to the Ravens. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Oh, no! We suck again!
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 and Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in as we are live on a Thirsty Thursday. And hell, after yesterday's game, maybe you might want to just bury yourself in multiple drinks. And
seven beers right now.
You could go seven beers right now if you like, or you could just skip on to something a little bit more.
Yeah, or four whiskeys.
More aggressive. You know, and you could do that right here at Buffalo Wild Wings. We're at the Cypress location, so come on out, hang out with us. As we said, we'll be here until 6 o'clock. Clint, listen, this is a type of game where the dude that's leading the show is the one you look at. We heard a lot of things, Clint, after this game. Multiple players saying, yeah, man, we just didn't have the energy. We were flat. Flat coming out of the game, flat coming in the second half. And then we had other players saying, I thought we had good energy. CJ said, I thought we had good energy. But then after I threw that pick, it seemed like we're kind of flat coming out of the third quarter and all this. You heard so many
different things from
players. D'Amico Ryan, to D'Amico said repeatedly, it starts with him. But Clint, for me, when I hear a veteran like Danielle Hunter, who has been in playoff teams, have played a lot in this league and has seen everything from the high to inept, come out, Clint, and a guy who rarely speaks, and a guy that I believe knows when he says something how it will get taken. Clint, when he said, as a defensive player, the biggest thing we can do is just game plan better. When I heard him say that, along with everything else he's been saying, I was like, man, that points right to D'Amico. And this is, like I said, bigger than a loss to a good team. Now it is, what's the confidence level that the man at the top can fix whatever this issue is? I think that's potentially where we are right now with D'Amico Ryan.
Yeah, look, I think when we hear Danielle Hunter make that kind of comment, I wonder if that's coming from D'Amico standing in front of him in the post game saying, hey man, that one's on me, fellas. I got to plan better. I got to put you on, like, and really emphasizing that. And then somebody throws a mic in front of his face and he just repeats what he just heard. Mm. Or is it legitimately a veteran player that is clearly a leader and carries some serious weight in the locker room, even though he doesn't speak much, carries some serious weight in that locker room? Is he really ultimately questioning what the plan was against the Baltimore Ravens?
If it's the former, Clint, I'd be surprised that he would say it.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. But, to me, all of that points right to the head coach. Like, all of that he said, yeah. And the we weren't ready, we weren't, we didn't have the energy, we didn't have the whatever, well, look, pointed towards him.
I think the biggest, we can talk about energy, we can talk about the you know, two games in 4 days, which teams do it all year long, going Sunday to Thursday, they went Saturday to Wednesday. We can talk about the three games in 11 days, whatever. There's two other teams that had that same schedule that didn't have a problem with it, the Chiefs and the Ravens. But you know, that's all one thing. But if you really look at now, it may be. I haven't seen the All 22 yet. I plan on watching that tonight. I have not seen the All 22 yet.
Oh God, are you ready for that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm ready, more ready for this than any of them, to be honest with you. They were started with a 4-down line. They went to a 5-down line. I think the biggest takeaway defensively. Now, it was piss poor, no doubt about it. But the biggest takeaway for me defensively is, you ain't got the dudes up front to handle that.
It was something that we wondered before the season started.
They had to adjust and go to a 5-man down line at times, and you don't have the interior presence to do that. Now, I know all these cats that been on my case all year long about, oh, boy, them D-tackles look fine now, don't they? They ain't hitting me up this week. I mean, them same cats have been on me on social media talking about that. Boy, you really beat the dead horse in them D tackles before the year started. This is that. Guess what? the desperate need for interior defensive line, that arose last year after Baltimore did what they did in the playoffs. Now it's coming to light once again after Baltimore did it to the Texans once again. Like, you don't have the dudes, whether it's two monsters inside that can hold their own against that kind of physicality up front, or when you go to a down five group, do you have three interior defensive linemen that can hold up one-on-one versus that level of physicality? You didn't even have that. And then you fast forward into the second half, and this is the third quarter when it was still somewhat in reach, or still at least you thought you had a puncher's chance. You look up and you got 93 and 72 out there inside.
What was that?
You ain't got – I mean, when here's the deal. The reality of it is, when we're talking defensive football, the guys that are starting and being difference makers on this team at the interior defensive line position need to be depth. If you're relying on Mario Edwards Jr., I love Mario Edwards Jr., I get it. But if you're when him stepping up in training camp is like, wow, man, we're lucky, right? When you're worried about Foley Fatakasi not being healthy, like, you got problems. And then when you get into a game and you look up and 72 and 93 are in the game, in critical, I'm still talking about the first three quarters.
Yeah, you could. Where's Tim Settle?
You got problems, right? I mean, so the reality of it is, I think defensively, beyond just being shocked that they got ran through, the real problem lies with you don't have the depth or the caliber players in from an interior standpoint to deal with what the Baltimore Ravens can throw at you.
Yeah.
You don't have that. Look, I'll be honest with you. If the Lions decided they wanted to get down with it like that, you don't have what it takes to do with them either. If they want to let Jared Goff, I mean, throw it, intercept five interceptions, then you can play with them. But the reality of it is, if the 49ers are healthy and you run up against them, if the Eagles are healthy and you run up against them kind of cats, they're going to do the same thing. It may not be to the tune of your offense scoring 2 points.
We just talked about it in the first second. This matchup, 90-21.
Yeah.
By the way,
on average, that's 30-7, folks. That's 30-7 on average when D'Amico Ryans has played. D'Amico Ryans' coach team has played the Baltimore Ravens. It's embarrassing. And I think defensively, the embarrassing part of it is you just flat out quit. You just got ran through. You gave yourself no choice, no chance. But the reality is you're still a few pieces away defensively to match up with a handful of teams that are the more physical football, offensive football teams in the league.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was a rough one. It was a rough one. Yeah, they as you said, they got some. Obviously, they know this. They got some stuff they need to fix and get together moving forward. But we'll see what they're able to do the rest of the way this year. As they obviously still have one more regular season game, and then they'll host a playoff game coming up as well. All right. Before we get to CJ at 3 o'clock, because I can't wait to hear the thoughts, and I see that's where many people are going. We'll get there at 3 o'clock. Lighten it up, man. I finally kind of realized, I am kind of weird. I am kind of a strange cat. Not as strange as, have you seen Tyler yet today?
I have not.
Not as strange as the blackjack dealer, Tyler Milner. But
I'm a weird one.
But I'm a strange cat. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 and Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ball out quick, baby. All right, welcome back in as we are live here, Buffalo Wild Wings in Cypress. We'll be here until 6 o'clock here on The Drive. There is Clint Sterner. He is here with us. Myself, Clint came in a little late, but he got in here, y'all. He got in here, man.
Came in hot, baby.
He came
real hot.
He was right there. You go. Look at Tyler, Clint.
Is it all black? Is it black on black?
It's black on black, baby. And I'm looking at that vest. That vest ain't just straight black. There's some. There look like there's some sort of a design on that.
Oh yeah, I got a nice floral pattern on this all black vest.
Yeah, I saw that. You tried. I thought it was from a distance. I said there's a little something. Is that snake skin?
Yeah. So those are the pants.
Do the pants have the same match?
No. No.
Damn. That would have been cold. That would have been cold blooded if you had the pants in the same material.
I got the red tie though with the snowflakes on it as well. A little festive.
Yeah, man. Give me a hit. I need a hit, man. I got this three and this nine. I need a hit. Give me a face card.
I look nice. It's not just a blackjack dealer look, okay?
Blackjack dealers look nice, too.
You just begged for a bust, by the way, Ron.
Did I?
Yeah, 9-3 in a face.
Oh, I sure did. Did I?
That'd be a bust.
Sir, are you sure?
I said a 9.
Another 9, baby. Give me a 9.
Now the whole table's eyeballing you pissed
give
off.
Me a face, give me a face card. I miss so many people out there. Listen to this dumbass.
He's not a gambler.
Tell you, man, they almost got me at blackjack. I told you that first time I went. Took $15, turned it into $111. Playing that $5 table, baby.
They almost got you, huh?
They did get me. There for a little bit. had a tough go for about a year just traveling up there by myself and not telling anybody. When I had class early. All right. As I see my man Bill, my band Bill on the text line, said it makes it easier. A couple of IPAs down my neck so far makes lifting between segments easier. Not going to lie, the Texans ruined my holiday. Bill, you banging out IPAs and lifting.
Cheers, brother.
It was that bad. It was that bad. There's no doubt.
I do want to apologize. I do want right now, for those of you who had to work yesterday, like I'm talking about work for the game and have some time missing away from your family on Christmas, I know that must have been a tough one, having to kind of go through that one. So I do apologize. Hopefully you got some time with your family outside of that yesterday, because I know that was
a struggle
for many. But hopefully everybody had a good Christmas outside of that game yesterday. And I got to be honest, Clint, I'm looking and I'm watching my kids yesterday. We had a good Christmas morning. Then we rolled out there to NRG. But when I say we, myself, like I can honestly say, fellas, I guess I was a strange kid. I'm looking at my kids. They got the PlayStation 5. I did not buy it, but they got the PlayStation 5, and they are into it, boy. They all just playing. I just never gave a rip about video games. Never ever did about video games. Never watched cartoons. Our kids all got bikes. Now I can tell the story.
No one gave you a bike when you were a kid, right? That'd have been messed up.
My mom did. I ran it into that parked car, and then I retired it.
That's right.
But now I can tell the story. The reason why I fell through the attic is because I was putting bikes up in the attic for Christmas, and then on my way trying to pull the last one up, I fell right through the attic. But they got bikes yesterday.
Do you dirty, man?
Our kids riding bikes around the neighborhood, Clint. After that running to a parked car, I retired the bike thing. I must have been a strange-ass kid. Didn't ride bikes. Didn't play any video games. Just watched SportsCenter. Didn't watch cartoons. I'm looking at them. I'm like, what? I probably was a strange-ass kid. Cheap for my mother, I'm sure. But I'm just a strange-ass kid. Just never got into any of that stuff. Never did. But I'm looking at them, and I can just see, they're about to cost me cash. Because they up there, I mean, all of them just rolling in that PlayStation 5.
Video games are the devil.
Well, yeah, riding the bikes all around. I was just a strange kid.
You never got into like the Maddens or NCAA football, like being a sports kid. Like you still didn't get into those.
I've never played.
Oh, hello, ma'am.
I've never played Madden.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't.
Not one time.
I mean, I played them all a time or two, but I just knew. I just knew they were the devil, man. I know a bad thing when I see them, and I had to get away. And your
passion and hatred for video games is so genuine and real.
Yeah, when did that start?
I've never been a big fan, but when I started working with kids and doing camps and training quarterbacks,
and you saw how it took over their lives.
Well, you just, when you watch,
instead
you
of watch, watching film,
when no, just instead of sleeping, how about that? When you when you watch, when you got a camp and you got 20 kids in there, and half of them show up and can't hardly open their eyes, they're so crusted shut at noon. It's like, man, what, I mean, what are they? What,
he is laughing. I feel like Tyler's laughing because he's experienced this.
He did it last week.
Sorry, yeah. Clint. I was up all night playing COD. I was playing Call of Duty all night. My bad.
And you just watch, you watch them kids that can't, they can't focus. They can't pay attention. They can't stay awake. They can't, and you talk to them about it. And hey, man, you get to the root of it. It's like 99% of them was because they stayed up until the wee hours of the morning playing PlayStation.
Yeah, I don't want them to do that.
Or whatever, playing video games, whatever it is. That's so I became I went from a guy that just didn't understand it, didn't get down with it, thought it was a waste of time, to a guy that was just like,
video games are the devil.
Yeah, I think now we live in an age where everybody's got a pad or a phone and you just throw it in front of their face and they just start playing with it. I just don't personally don't like it.
Text line texting in, Ron, are you sure you were a kid? Fair. fair. I watch SportsCenter a lot.
Yeah,
really enjoyed that. And then walked around and played pickup baseball and basketball games. That's what that was my thing. Didn't ride bikes. Walked to them.
You throw a bike in there, and we were pretty similar there. We hit that old screen door. We hit that old screen door when the sun came
out,
up,
baby.
Man. And we was,
is that my
was,
boy Ron?
Yeah, I was out. I had to get that. You were in the kitchen, fat boy. Your mama, for starters. And second, I don't pass on a good meal. I really don't. I don't pass on a good meal. No, it's no. And when you say that up all night, I watched Nicholas. Nicholas was up there. He's four. He was up there on like that. It's not Mario Kart, but it's like Mario Kart with Disney. Like, it's like Mickey and mm-hmm. Donald and all
that. Now his favorite character.
Oh, man. He was on there, and I could see him. I mean, he was up there for a couple of hours on that bad boy. And I'm like, hold on, man.
Well, it's like.
Trey woke up this morning. I walked down there to go check on him at 8 o'clock this morning. He had already. They took it upstairs in the big thing. He was already up there.
Right after. Yeah. I'd realized. Like, my competitive gene is not good with because I can't put it down because I want to.
If it's
a game, I get mad and throw the remote. If it's like Madden or something, I get mad. I'm breaking. I'm putting dents in walls and
that's
breaking
what Tyler
remotes.
Did. Remember Tyler ruptured his wrist.
Yeah,
on a fumbled kickoff return.
I jacked my wrist up good on that button.
And then if it's one of those games that has an ending, like you got to conquer the game. Hey man, I'm.
You in it to the
I'm
end.
In it, man. And this is back when you could go. I could have just walked down the street to the Stop and Go and bought the old magazine with the cheat codes in it.
Well, you wouldn't doing
no,
that.
I can't do
you
it.
Gotta
man.
Win
if
it.
I'm gonna beat it. I'm gonna do it the right way.
Damn thing.
I look over and I'm playing Zelda at 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, "What the hell am I doing? Are you kidding me? I got practice in the morning, man. What the hell we do? I got homework I ain't done. Mama's gonna be, you know, Linda's gonna be screaming at me. I'm done with this. Tomb Raider's the one that got me. Tomb Raider's the one. Oh, Lara Croft.
Lara Croft. Is it Croft?
I think it's Croft. But either way it goes, ooh. You know. I'm talking about that old shapely gal.
Very shapely.
Yeah. She's the one that got me. She's the one that I realized, like, hey, man, it's 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. What the hell am I doing?
She was so shapely, Angelina Jolie had to play her in the movie.
Yeah, I had to quit her. That's when I quit video games.
I promise you, I've heard a lot of these games you're talking about. I've never played them. I think the only video game I've ever played was Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, I didn't do much.
That was one I played a lot on the old Sega Genesis.
That's it. I've never played Madden. Just never done it. I know I'm a strange cat. It's all right. Got to be great in other areas.
Zelda was one that I got addicted to and all night, and then Tomb Raider, and it was.
You know, I take that. I did a little Nintendo. I played a little Super Mario Brothers. I did a little bit of that. That Duck Hunt, that combination game. I did a little.
Oh yeah, that was a fun one.
But that's a long time.
Freaking dog mocking you when you miss the duck. A hole. Popping up out of that grass, laughing at you.
That voice right his wrist. All right, coming up. As we continue live, we'll do our grade for C.J. Stroud, and then we got to have a little conversation about C.J. Stroud because I know Clint's got some strong feelings about what he saw yesterday from the Texans' second year quarterback. But again, text in 713-572-4610 as well as you on YouTube and Twitch, his grade, 17 of 31, 185 yards, 0 touchdowns, one interception, and a passer rating of 59.2. We'll discuss C.J. Stroud coming up next.
God bless, brother.